कुंज विहारी to be here today. I don't find myself every day in front of so many bright young people. You know this? When people grow older, they lose the excitement and the wonder that they once had when they were children. Do you know this? No, it's actually a lot of fun to be your age. We adults, we forget that. Have you ever seen adults running around in the field and playing like you? Oh, wow. You're in a special place. We have about 20 minutes, and I have brought something special for you. Tell me if you're interested, okay? Today is Bhaktivinod Thakur's birthday. Huh? Instant interest. Somebody said, what's your name? Vamsi. Vamsi says, instant interest. And he wrote an autobiography. How many of us know about that? He wrote down what he did in his life. And many years back, when I was studying to become a doctorate in philosophy, I translated his autobiography. And what I have for you today, tell me if you're interested, okay? What I have for you today is a description, in his own words, what school was like when he was your age. Interested? Let's see, let's have a show of hands. So this is Bhaktivinod Thakur's school life, okay? He wrote this. He wrote this. I don't have it with me today, but I do have it. I went to his home, childhood home, and I scanned his notebook where he wrote down these stories. So if anybody is interested, maybe I can give it to you and you can share it with the school. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. How many, is there anybody here who's 5 years old? You're five? How old are you now? Six? Oh, so he was a little younger than you. He said, at the age of five, I was sent to a real school. But then my former teacher was no more there. So he loved his teacher, but when he went to a new school, he lost his teacher. Do you feel sad when you go to a new class and you lose your favorite teacher? Sometimes, okay, he had that. Yadu Sarkar, who was another friend, and many others like him successively, took charge of the school. So he was having one teacher after another come to his school. After some days, writes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my younger brother Haridas took admission in the school. Would it be fun if your brother or sister was in your school? Is there anybody who's lucky to have that? Some of us, see? He said, my brother got into the school. We had to attend the school in the morning and be present till late afternoon. Do you do that? No? Okay. The teacher used to be there every day, all good so far. Many other children of the surrounding neighborhood used to study with us. Amongst them, those who were elder used to act as agents of the teachers. And take care of the younger ones. If we came late, okay, so what happens if you go to school late? You get a sticker? You get a sticker? He said, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we came late, they used to catch us. The rule at school was, okay, now this doesn't happen here today. I'm talking about 150 years back in a village school in India. You want to know how school was like in India? Kinda? You will feel so lucky that you're not there. He said, the rule at the school was whoever used to come first got hit by a cane only once. Whoever came second got hit twice. Ooh. Little cane. Cane like a stick. Ooh. You're so lucky, right? A ruler. Ruler, okay, fine. We'll go with a ruler. And you know what they used to do at school? The experienced boys used to learn about accounting. How many of us learn accounting when we're like 5 or 7? But they used to teach accounting at school. And then from time to time, under the scrutiny of the teacher, they used to learn how to make a court in a classroom. So they used to play court, like a court. You know what a court is? When two people disagree and they can't solve it among themselves, then they go to somebody else to solve it for them. Yeah, kind of. Like, not exactly like a lawyer. It's mediation. And when you can't fix it in a friendly way, then you go to court. So these kids used to play court at their school. When the younger boys complained about something, the witness and evidence would be placed as it is done in a court. At the end, there would be determination of the punishment, and all final decisions were taken by the teacher. So the teachers began to act, play with the children like a judge. There were several types of punishments, like twisting your ear once. Not too bad, right? And then there was also something called Naru Gopal. You know what Naru Gopal is? Have you seen Laddu Gopal? Gopal standing like that? So the teacher would make a kid who was not behaving nicely sit down with his hand like that as if you're holding a Laddu. And you just keep sitting there till you got bored. With a Laddu in the air. There's no Laddu. You're just sitting like that. We used to personify our teacher as Yama. And the older students were like Yamadutas. At times, these older boys used to act on their own, and they used to arrange courtroom deliberations on behalf of the teacher. So the teacher would get bored and just let the other boys take care. So there was one time a strange thing happened. You want to listen to a strange story? Yeah. Strange story, okay. During closing time of the school, one of the older boys called my name and told me, "Listen, Kedar," Bhaktivinoda Thakur's name was? He said, "Listen, Kedar, our teacher will have no vegetable curry to eat, so bring some jackfruit from your home." So in their home, they were, you know, they had a lot of nice fruit trees, right? And sometimes people would steal from those trees. So this time, an older guy told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Go get a fruit for the teacher, but don't tell anybody." Thus, the next day, I stole some jackfruit from my house, hid it under my books, and gave it to my teacher. Do you do that? See, the guy who did this was in big trouble. When the teacher heard that my grandmother got angry regarding that matter, he became scared. He told me to bring something which nobody can see. Was this person being a good teacher? No. He instructed me not to bring big things, because you can't hide it under a book. So I used to steal soaked chickpeas and gave it to my teacher. And what happened is, and then Thakur writes, my brother Haridas became very angry with him about this. So one day, he entered the teacher's room when the teacher was taking nap after a meal. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur followed him to see, "Hey, what is my brother doing?" So when he saw his brother go to the teacher, and he saw that my brother is following me, then his brother ran away. After all of this chaos happened, they got a new teacher. So this old teacher isn't working out. In this way, I studied with two or three teachers and gradually started writing on paper. Our study used to go on in this manner. You know how they used to write? They didn't have paper and pen. Do you know how they used to write?
Ink.
There was no ink.
They used
feather. When they grew up, but not at this age. Very good. Yes, what's your answer? Banana leaf. How many of you have heard of writing on banana leaf? That's what school was like. They used to go out, cut a banana leaf. They used to have charcoal and soot. You know, when you burn a lamp for a long time and you catch the black part on a plate, it's the carbon. You put some little oil on it, and that becomes like ink. And then you take a banana leaf, and that becomes paper. So when they are real little kids, paper was very expensive. Pens were very expensive. Kids wouldn't get that. They would just go out in nature, pick up those things, make their own ink and paper, and write. Yeah. So he said, in the morning we used to stand and loudly recited multiplication tables, addition tables, karaganda tables, you know, like $1 is 100 cents, $100. So they had calculations for money. So every morning the first thing they did at school is to go in and start chanting. Actually, we also had to do that when, you know, I grew up in India and went to a British colonial school, and I had to do that. Two ones are two, two twos are four, two threes are six. Did you have to do that? No? Sometimes? Yep. No, but they still have some of the schools there. You wake up, you know, you go into school and you start multiplication tables and you go all the way till 12. How many of you know 12 twelves are? 144. See, good. Yes. You want to say something? Oh. So early in the morning, they used to go into school and they start memorizing and chanting mathematical tables. That's how the school started. The older students used to recite in louder chorus, so they would read. First, the older students used to recite, 4 kori is equal to 1 ganda. You know, that's the calculation of money in that period. And then we younger students used to follow their recitation and, you know, and kept chanting after him. After this, we used to sit down to write. When we used to write, our teachers instructed us, read first and then write. So they used to just copy from stuff. We used to read loudly and then wrote everything we read. At 1 p.m., we got break for eating rice for lunch. We used to hurry and go back to our home, and within half an hour, we used to come back. Do you do that? Okay, he used to do that. Break, run home, eat very quickly, come back in half an hour. Then school closed before 2 p.m. What time does your school close?
Sometimes 2.
On Wednesdays at 2? At 3. So, okay, on Wednesday, you have Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule. After 1.5 hours, we had to come back to school. In the evening, okay, do you have to do this? Listen to this. In the evening, we would go again, recite the tables, and then school would close for the day. Somebody was like, what?
They would come back in the evening just to recite magic.
Yes, yes. Your teacher is getting ideas now. You go home, get lunch, come back to school, school closes, teacher goes to sleep, come back in the evening. Who wants to come back to school in the evening?
No.
No. No. Boo. Okay. Who wants to listen to what else happened?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Till the age of 6, whatever instruction we got in school and whatever I learned in school was in Bengali. I used to learn bookkeeping. You know what bookkeeping is?
Keeping books.
No. Here's the thing. Bookkeeping means to keep track of the money that comes in and goes out. So how much money is coming in? You write down on the left side. How much money is going out? You write down on the right side. And then you add the left and you add the right side and you make sure that the two sides match. That's called bookkeeping. I know. So then they figured out that they have to send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to an English school. At the time, there was an English medium school that at my maternal grandfather's place. A French man called Dijor Barrett used to stay and was the teacher of that school. When my own school remained closed for 2 hours during the day, I used to go to that English school. So think about it. He's going to one school. When he's getting a break during the day for 2 hours, he's in another school. So he's going to 2 schools at the same time. Wow. And then at that school, he became very interested in learning English. And seeing my interest in studying English, my teacher became very fond of me. Haribol. Now you know what else they used to do at school? At time, many beehives were formed in the garden. We used to break hives and had honey. Do you know how to get honey at school?
Smoke.
Huh? Smoke under it. Having so much honey would make our body heated, and my mother, understanding this, used to scold us. Though I felt a little restrained, my brothers were not. You know, so what his brothers did? Had way more honey than him. One day, my brothers got stung by bees. Would you want to do that at school?
No.
Bad idea. The bee stung him so much that he was compelled to suffer from fever for a few days. He got fever. The bees hurt him so bad. When I found that all the people got angry seeing us play in the gardens or ponds or around the circle building, I left the company of my brothers and started sitting with the guards at the main gate in the afternoon. So there were a bunch of kids who were very, very naughty. They used to... My friend Prasadananda Prabhu is saying, here they are. So, you know, you're on the right track. At the starting of the day, I would write in front of the teacher, and in the afternoon would study English, and in the evening I used to stay with my teacher from the evening and till we started going to bed. There was Ghosh's maid, there was somebody working at home, my maid and other wise females would come and tell us many stories at night. While taking rest, we used to hear stories of robbers, romance, and tigers, and then go to sleep. When I used to wake up at late night, I would sit by the window. Sometimes does it happen that you're trying to sleep and you can't sleep? Always? See, he had it too. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had it too. He said, at 4 prahar, late into the night, the security officer used to carry lanterns in the pathways and used to shout security calls. That was what his day was like when he was your age. Isn't that fun? Do you have other questions about the early life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Tell me what your questions are.
What year was all this happening?
This was happening in 1842-43. Yes.
What was his parents' name?
Anandamohan? Huh? Anandamohan. Mustafi. And I forget his mother's name. He just keeps calling him mother. I have to look it up. Yes. Oh, yes. But there was no soccer. In those days, what they used to do, yes, like Krishna used to play. I saw one more hand and then, yes.
So basically, it's just like school day, like his first school. He like wakes up, he goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just starts studying like all the mathematical things.
Yes. Yeah. So in those days, you know, people used to learn whatever was practical. So accounting was one subject. Then writing letters. Right? Then go out in nature and identify plants. So they used to, right? This is a fun way to spend a day. Yes.
They were asking if he was raised in a Vaishnava family or not, or Muslim.
He was raised in a Shakta family. Shakta means worshippers of Kali.
That was very common in Bengal.
That was very common in Bengal. Right. Yes. He was born in Bengal. In a small village called Birnagar. You wanted to ask something? Yes. How old was he when he became a devotee? He started, first of all, you know, somebody like him is inside, internally, always a devotee. But there is something called Leela. You know what Leela is? Leela means play. Have you ever taken part in a play? Right. So in a play, have you become a character? So when you start the play and you become a character, there is a story, right? Before you enter the play, you know the whole story in your head. But once you enter the play, you act out the story, right? So those who are liberated, they live in this world in a way where they're unfolding their story. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur technically became a devotee when he was about 30 years old. But when he was very young, he almost died one time. He was so sick, and a Vaishnava guru came and gave him mantra and diksha. And that was the beginning. Have you heard of the word initiation?
Yes. Yes.
Initiation means beginning. Yes. That is true. That is, you're very smart. Thank you. Yes, everybody. Whenever you worship someone, you're a devotee. You're right. You can be a devotee of anything, but we are Krishna's devotees. Right. Yes.
Since this family is a Kali's worshipper, is he born vegetarian, or he become vegetarian when he was 30 years old?
So. When I went to his house in Birnagar, what I noticed is there are 12 Shiva temples. There is one Radha Krishna temple and one Kali temple. Right? And so when we say that his family was a devotee of Kali, they also used to worship Radha and Krishna. It's not. So, you know, sometimes worshipping without proper understanding is what makes them Shakta or Shaiva. And they used to have meat at home. And then later he said, I didn't like doing this. So he gave up. In fact, one of his brothers died during his childhood from eating meat. And he said, you know, after that, it's like, it was very shocking. And he writes in his autobiography that Durga Puja was a very big festival. And he said, everybody was celebrating. But I felt bad for the poor animals who were being sacrificed. So, that compassion in his heart, the compassion of a Vaishnava, was there when he was very young. Other questions? Yes.
The house that you can visit on the other side of the Jalanki?
No,
that's his adult house.
That's his retirement home.
Okay, that's not his childhood.
No, he made about 6 homes during his lifetime. So in his childhood, he was born in the home of his mother, the mother's ancestral home. And then later on, he was raised by his uncle, Kashi Prasad Ghosh. After that, when he became, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he made, as a deputy magistrate, he made a big home right outside the Puri temple, and he made his writing retreat on the beach. Right, so he had 2 places, because he had 14 children. You can't sit at home and write 100 volumes of books with 14 children running around. And then when he went to, in his later years, he built a house in Krishnanagar, where he was a deputy magistrate, and he had that house in opposite Jalangi, that was his bhajan ashram. And his main house was in Calcutta. It was called Bhakti Bhavan. Right. So he built a lot of houses. Other questions? It's 8:40, so you have to... Yes. I'll take 2 last. Yes.
They named their houses.
Yes, they named their houses.
Is it like a living?
Huh? Yeah, houses are like living creatures, exactly. This, in Krishna consciousness, houses are expansions of Lord Balaram because they are giving you shelter.
Do these houses still belong to his family?
Some of them. And some of them are under trusts. Last question. Second last question.
How did his brother die by getting wounded?
So, you know, the human body is not designed for meat. And if meat is not properly cooked, right, or if it's cooked and kept for some time, it goes bad very quickly, and then it becomes poison. So his brother got food poisoning and he died from eating meat. Yes.
How many of his children besides Bhaktisiddhanta were devotees?
They're all devotees. They're all very Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave specific instructions to each of his children. So to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave 3 specific instructions. develop Mayapur, reform the ascetic order, and reach out to Westerners. To these other children, he gave other instructions, and they followed exactly what their father told them. Right? So, and I know his family. I visit them. I'm friends with them. You know, sometimes you see that they are not following, but you can see that they're also very, they're protected by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy. So whatever crazy things might happen, they're sheltered. Yes. If the class has to dismiss here, I will continue, but you said 8:40, so yeah. I want to be mindful of the time.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for coming today and sitting through this class. And yes.
That story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur chasing a ghost, is that really true?
Yes. There are incidents like mentioned like that. Some of it was not in his autobiography though. Any other questions? Yes. What?
Like, is Shaktam part of Shatamargam?
What is Shatamargam?
For example,
Shaiv,
Ganapatyam, and then
Yes. Shakta, Shaiva, Shaurya, Ganapatyam, Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other last questions? Any comments? Otherwise, for maybe 5-10 minutes, since it is the Vyas Puja of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if there is a microphone, we can share a few words of glorification on how Thakur has positively impacted our lives. Right? I saw one hand go up. The letter was at his birthplace in Birnagar. You know, Vaishnavas in the past did not write autobiographies. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first Vaishnava who wrote an autobiography. And he wrote it in the form of a 203-page letter to his son, giving all the details of his life. Right? And it was recently, the Bengali was reprinted by the Bhaktivedanta Research Center. So that book is available in print again now after, 125 years.
What's the name of the book?
Sva Likhita Jivani, which means my life in my words. Yes. Yes. So he was a voracious reader. And by the time he was 12 years old, his father had passed away and he found himself as the head of the family. He was responsible for earning an income, because in those days, no matter what happened, women wouldn't go out and work. It was against Varnashrama. And so there was an epidemic where his entire village was wiped out. All his relatives were gone. And so when he came back, he just saw his mother and his sister. They were alive. He somehow brought them to Calcutta. They were staying in the home of relatives. And that is the time, he said, he began reading a lot. He was reading a lot of philosophical books. So he says he read Kant and Hume and Schopenhauer, he read Shakespeare, he read the Quran, he read everything that he could find from the Brahmo Samaj. And he joined several groups. In those days in Bengal, there were debating societies and he joined some of those. He was a member of the Brahmo Samaj, which was a reform movement. And he was a member of the Unitarian Universalist Church. But after seeing everything, his heart was not very fulfilled. And then when he, at one point in his younger days, when he became an English teacher, one of his colleagues told him about this book called Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, I must find a copy. And everywhere he began to look, it was incomplete, the print was off, something was wrong. And then after a lot of struggle, he found one copy and he read it for the first time. He said, I've never read something so brilliant in my life. Till now, we were so prejudiced against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that because he was going to schools. Like, I went to a British school, Irish school, and by third grade, we had teachers telling us, you Hindus worship monkeys and cows. Right? You should surrender to, you know, there is God and God is one, God loves everyone, that God is Jesus Christ, and you should surrender. And missionary schools were opened in India for that purpose. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his book, The Bhagavata, that when we were in college, the Srimad Bhagavatam was a repository of bad ideas. That's how we were taught. But when we actually read the book, it blew our mind. So he says, when I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita for the first time, I discovered my Eastern savior. Right? There were missionaries from Europe coming in India, telling about Jesus Christ as the Savior. And he said, I found my Eastern Savior. This was, and he says, he was the mighty genius of Nadia. And when I read it for the second time, I couldn't understand certain parts. And I prayed in my heart. And he said, then I became convinced that if there is Bhagavan, Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan. And that, since you asked what was, and you were involved in the printing of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Vishnu Prabhupada, right? The typing. The composing. So, that you asked me what was his favorite book, he mentions. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was his favorite book. And then he wrote a commentary on it called Amrita Prabhaha. Prabhaha means unrestricted flow. And Amrita means immortality or nectar. So unrestricted flow of nectar, right? And so all of the purports of Srila Prabhupada are a English summary translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Amrita Prabhaha Bhashya. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote a commentary on his father's work called Anubhashya. Anu means little. So he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the flow of nectar and Saraswati Thakur wrote mini commentary. And Srila Prabhupada took those two, turned it into English, and called it the Bhaktivedanta Purports. Right? So you come in that same glorious line. I thank you for that question. I hope I was able to answer. Any particular questions, thoughts, words of glorification? Is there a... Yes, Prabhu.
I just feel deeply indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When I was first exposed to Krishna consciousness and I was debating in my head, this is a different philosophy than what I was raised. I was raised in the hierarchy of Mormon, the founder of the Mormon Church is one of my ancestors, so I was raised as Christian. And I was thinking, no, this is better. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared to me in a dream.
Wow.
And he was chastising me, but it was a very interesting experience because his words were chastising, but his mood was full of love. He said, where have you been? We've been waiting for you. Yeah. And I woke up and I said, that's it. I'm all in. What do I need to do? This is for me. So I've always...
What is your name?
I've David Presta. So I guess my question for you, you know him very well. So that experience was, 40 years ago. How can I rekindle that connection? And what instructions did he give to people who weren't his family? What, how can we How can we serve him?
You are his family. Him? Family is not by blood. Family is by heart. You know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we are all part of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's family. And you are very fortunate. Just hearing it gives me goosebumps. Yeah, I never had the good fortune like you. He just, Krishna claimed you. What can I say? You're very fortunate. In Narada Muni, in the first canto, says that in his many lifetimes, he witnessed the Lord, but it was very brief. And he wanted to do it again. He wanted to witness the Lord again. Dhruva Maharaj had the same experience. He wanted to witness the Lord again. But it didn't happen. And that one darshan came so that the attraction to see him again increases, and then one day we are able to see them. So, actually he's present from a spiritual vantage point. Right? We are not these bodies. And we are, you know, a part of Krishna's entourage once we had taken shelter of one of his servants. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very distinct, special servant of Sri Krishna. And so if he's coming in your dream and he's claiming you back, you know, I don't have anything else to say. It's very special. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for coming and sharing so much about his life.
Yes.
You bring him alive. I'm very grateful.
Any other glorification, short, any incidents? Yes.
So how many bhajans did he write?
You know, I never counted. The question is how many bhajans he wrote? I never counted, number one. Plenty would be the answer. What I can tell you is when I was doing my doctoral work, I immersed myself 24/7 in collecting and preserving the corpus of his texts. And then gave most of it to the Bhaktivedanta Research Center. I still have some of it. I discovered a lot of notebooks with songs that were unpublished. I was like, I never read that before. And someday I want to bring them out. I hope, you know, Vaishnavas allow me to do that. So, and there are stuff that I know he wrote, he talks about them, but I haven't found yet. Like Mutts of Orissa. You know, he wrote a book called The Mutts of Orissa. The Mutts, the monasteries. I haven't found it. He wrote three epic poems. Bijanogram in Bangla, Shonnashi in Bangla, and the Poriyad in English. So the Poriyad was lost for almost 100 years, and then we found out that, you know, I found volume 2. Right, so... you know, that's poetry. So in this way, we found a lot of stuff that he wrote. And then what I haven't found yet, I need to go back and do this, are all his employment records. Employment records. Because the British government had an archive where they used to save the records of magistrates and deputy magistrates and things like that. So there is a place in Calcutta where they have all of that stuff now. And I found out about it, so I need to go back and archive it. But think about it, you know, all the court cases he sat through, you know, are somewhere out there, and all of his employment records are there. So once you get those records, you have a better picture of who he was as a person. Yes?
Thank you. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the instruction to reach out to the Western people. And so then that was passed down from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, correct?
To Srila Prabhupada.
And also, you know, it's actually so disturbing to hear that the teachers, I guess you experienced it personally, would tell the students, like, there's something wrong with your culture, with your religion, you worship monkeys and you worship cows. I actually remember thinking that growing up, like, what's wrong with them? They're starving, but they won't eat they won't eat the meat from the cow, you know? I thought that's...
I know.
It sounded so ridiculous, but of course, even before I was a devotee, I became a vegetarian, then I understood that. But it seems like there's still large sections of India that are Christian, quote-unquote, as a result of those schools. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm very grateful for the education I received.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to speak to you in English, and English is not my mother language. Mm-hmm. English is my third language. And so I'm grateful that I got an opportunity to, you know, get educated. But at the same time, the logic of colonialism is that there is no logic.
It's, I mean, brainwashing, really.
It is based on greed. Mm-hmm. That I am not satisfied with what I can prepare and grow in my country. Therefore, I must go to somebody else's land, steal that land, take over their culture or destroy their culture. And I have written in my academic publications and spoken at academic conferences that I have nothing against Christianity. In fact, last year I was voted as a board member of the Society for Hindu Christian Studies, which is a, you know, honor society, scholars board. And every year Anutama Prabhu does Vaishnava Christian Dialogue in Washington, D.C. And I have given a keynote there 1 year, right? And I go whenever I can. And I have deep admiration for Lord Jesus Christ. And so did Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and so did Srila Prabhupada. However, the Jesus Christ of the Bible and the Jesus Christ of colonialism are different. Colonial powers used Jesus Christ to exploit people. And there is an African bishop, Desmond Tutu, who once said that when the European Christian missionaries came to Africa, we had the land and they had the Bible. They asked us to close our eyes and pray. When we opened our eyes, they had the land and we had the Bible. So a whole continent was colonized. Right? India, on the other hand, you know, embraced any religion from across the world that was facing persecution. When the temple was broken for the second time, the Jewish temple was broken for the second time, many Jews immigrated to India, 2,000 years back. Those Jewish communities are still there. When Iran, Persia, was invaded, and Shiite Islam became the state religion, and the Zoroastrians were persecuted, they came to India. And you go to Bombay today, you will see Parsi colonies hundreds of years later. In 1950, when China took over Tibet and Dalai Lama had to escape, he came to India. And Dharmashala is still there. So India as a land has always welcomed a diversity of transcendental practitioners. However, with colonization, it wasn't about getting refuge. It was about raping and pillaging a continent. And we still today are facing the consequences of such exploitation. The saddest reality is that many Indians don't even realize this. Lord Macaulay, who was a British lawmaker, said that we need a group of Indians who are brown in color but white in taste and culture. If we do not uproot a group of Indians from their own cultural heritage, we won't be able to rule over these people. So the way in the Americas, Native Indian children were forcefully ripped, put into boarding schools. That didn't exactly happen the same way in India, but they had the exact same agenda. And it is a very painful part of India's history. Because from the perspective of Sanatana Dharma, we recognize Jesus Christ as a legitimate expansion of Godhead. We recognize, our acharyas recognize Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a devotee of God. But that favor isn't returned necessarily. Right? And so it is what it is. The least we can do is understand the depth and the greatness of what we have inherited. And, you know, I was actually very delighted to see so many young people. Right? This is, you know, this is the future. If they continue that, you know, to experience, practice and spread the teachings of Sanatana Dharma, then the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is fulfilled. I wish I said that while they were here. Was I able to answer your question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Dhanyavad, nice class. I just wanted to glorify that in 1896, the year when Prabhupada was born, he sent that English book to the Western Library, right?
Yes, many libraries.
Many libraries, yes. Yes. And that was the, one of the biggest contributions.
Yes. In 1896, he completed two particular special books. He retired that year, so he gave himself to writing fully. And so he wrote his autobiography in 1896, which is the birth year of Srila Prabhupada. He also published The Precepts of Lord Sri Chaitanya. And he sent it to universities like McGill, Harvard, Chicago, Berkeley, Cambridge, Oxford. And so book distribution in the English language really began that year. Thank you for raising that.
And other thing was that how he risked his life to get rid of this Bishipishi Babu, or that
Bishakishan.
Bishakishan, yeah. To and he was very powerful with the his hair and everything, right? His power.
Yes.
And I see some people like that in today's world.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to spell their names, but there are a couple, and they're very powerful in India. Preaching in India has become so difficult because of them.
Mm.
And I really pray for his avatar or his power to descend to, so that all of them can be converted to Vaishnavas, or can become original Vaishnavas, reverted, not converted.
That is the prayer. Of Bishakishan was both a political problem, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a deputy magistrate in the British government, and in those days the British were not, had not turned very cruel. And so when Bishakishan began to gather forces and rebelled against Her Majesty the Queen, it was the prerogative of a magistrate to judge. And there is a long series of articles in the Sajjan Toshini about this.
And
he was also exploiting people's, you know, local people, calling himself an avatar and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought him to court. But that's not the only time he risked his life. He risked his life many times. The king of Puri was also a very corrupt person. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came as a deputy magistrate, he took charge of the Jagannath Puri temple. And for the first time, bhoga began to happen on time. Things were organized. And as usual, the king did not like him because he stopped corruption. So the king arranged for some priests to do a yajna in order to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And for 1 month, a group of brahmanas came and kept doing yajna to kill him. And for that entire month, he kept falling more sick, and, you know. And his wife kept telling him, why are you doing this with the king? Just surrender, do your own job. You don't have to, you know, who asked you to be a reformer? Why are you risking your life? You have children. And he said, no, this is the right thing to do. So on the last day and the 30th day, these brahmanas had promised the king that if you do this yajna, this man will die. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was almost dead, bedridden. And he said, if I have to die in this way, I have to die in this way, but at least, you know, I'll set a good example for my children. Okay? Let them know that you cannot stand up, as you know, you cannot keep quiet when you see injustice like this. So what happened is, on the 30th day, when the yajna was completed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur somehow did not die, but the king's son died. And later he wrote about it. So they did this yajna to kill me, and they went on for a whole month. I kept hearing the yajna is going on, and actually I began to feel sicker and sicker, and then, but towards the end of the month I was bedridden, and then, you know, I was just praying that, Krishna, if you keep me, you keep me. If you kill me, you kill me. I'm your servant. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do what I think is right. And so Krishna let that whole drama unfold for 1 month. Krishna likes drama. Krishna had that whole drama unfold for 1 month, and then, you know, somehow, even the king's son is not ordinary. If you leave your body in a holy place, you go back to Lord Jagannath. So the Lord taught a lesson. You don't do these things.
And where can you buy the biography, Swajivit Likhani biography in English?
Some versions are available online. The Bengali one was recently published by the Bhaktivedanta Research Center.
English.
I haven't seen it in book form yet. Okay. Vaisheshika Prabhu encouraged me to translate. So one day, you know, maybe I'll be able to make that offering. If somebody else does it better, may Bhaktivinoda Thakur empower them. Last question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, thousands of years, the Muslims and then the Britishers came to invade, but they all didn't change the culture as much, you know, as it's done in the last so many decades. You know, people were still, even in my childhood, there was so much Vedic culture. There were no divorces. Women always wore saris, and they did their, you know, religious things. And but in the last few decades, it's 4 or 5 decades even, slowly, like now very rapidly, because of the modernization and the internet, people are losing almost completely the Vedic culture in India.
Mm.
And in all those thousands of years, 100 years, people were still following their culture.
You're spot on. For thousands of years, people were following that culture despite the invasions. Now there are no invasions, and people are giving up that culture. And Srila Tamalakrishna Goswami mentioned this in 1993 in a lecture in Mayapur to ISKCON Youth Forum, that you know, there is invasion and then there is psychological invasion. The moment you create distractions like Mickey Mouse, which are more attractive, you make people forget. Okay, I want to thank you for getting together this morning. It's an auspicious day. I'm very grateful that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's movement has expanded. And I'm very humbled to be a part of this community. Because to me, all of you are actually a living proof that his vision, his work, his instructions have a lot of power. Right? So, my deep gratitude to whoever is listening online and all of us who are here. Thank you very much.